Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, which is from Hebrews 1:11. Not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. In this show, we will discuss the truth mentioned in the Bible that makes us free. Listen as we explain the function of the causal spiritual body as the foundation for perfect creation. The more faith in divine presence, the more tangible it becomes. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience divine law. Swami, the title of today's show is Walking in the Faith of Divine Presence. Can you just maybe give us a snapshot of what you think that might look like?
Well, we're talking about the function of faith. Not so much that it's, like we said in the opening, belief without proof, but there is a certain degree of trust without reservation. Because one of the things that we want to make a distinction here is that there is a difference between belief and faith. In Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 297, faith is higher and more spiritual than belief. It is a chrysalis state of human thought in which spiritual evidence contradicting the testimony of the material senses begins to appear, and truth, the ever-present, is becoming understood. Human thoughts have their degrees of comparison. Some thoughts are better than others. A belief in truth is better than a belief in error, but no mortal testimony is founded on the divine rock. Mortal testimony can be shaken. Until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes spiritual understanding, human thought has little relation to the actual or divine. So here we're talking that faith is belief in truth, which is the allness and the oneness of divine life. A shift from material to spiritual values.
So earlier you had just said in the beginning of that statement, faith is higher and more spiritual than belief. It is a chrysalis state of human thought. What do you think that she's really telling us there?
Well, what she's talking about here is just what she says, that in which spiritual evidence, that faith really implies that what you're doing is going to start to demonstrate the principle that you're trying to employ. So that, and like she had also said, contradicting the testimony of material senses. There's clearly a distinction between simple belief and this term faith. And so faith really is like the next octave up from belief.
So you had just said that contradicting the testimony of material sense begins to appear, and truth, the ever-present, is becoming understood. So when she's talking about being understood, is it that we have to have or be at a different level of consciousness for that understanding that she's talking about?
Yeah, she's talking about an unfolding here. There's a progression that goes where we go from believing to this element of faith to eventually understanding. Because what we're really aspiring towards is a demonstrable principle. We want to be able to demonstrate this. We don't just want to talk about it or believe in something. We want to be able to use it as a practical guide for highly effective living.
And so again, another statement in that paragraph, human thoughts have their degrees of comparison. I know we've been talking a lot about human thoughts, but what is she talking about when she's talking about degrees of comparison?
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever it is that we believe in. Because that's what we have been saying. We can believe in anything. You can believe in sickness. You can believe in suffering. You can believe in disease. You can believe in positive thinking. But what we're really aspiring to here is this belief in truth. Belief in the one divine life, the one divine presence that is the cause of all creation. That spirit is the one self-existent power of this universe. And for us to believe in that is what begins to evolve into faith and then eventually to progress into understanding. Because this truth is the only thing that is backed by principle. It's the only thing that has power. Everything else just relies on belief for its appearance of power. So even say, for example, if you are thinking positively and you believe in what you do, to some extent you can change finite bad to finite good. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about demonstrating the truth of being, which is moving into the changeless state of being. We're talking about a complete transformation where we're going from the belief in two powers and being under material law and the law of karma in the cycle of death and rebirth to this liberation, this freedom from that material law, from that false sense of existence, into the truth of our being, which is divine law, which is under the law of absolute goodness, absolute harmony, and the perfection of being.
Well, I think it's interesting, the statement that she made is, a belief in truth is better than a belief in error, but no mortal testimony is founded on the divine rock. So this belief in error is probably where most of us are sitting with right now.
Right, because we have a belief in matter, that we have a belief in two powers. And so we haven't risen out of material law. And so this belief in truth, though, this belief in the one absolute divine life gives you the principle that will enable everything to start to move forward.
Now, what does she mean by founded on the divine rock?
Yeah, that spirit is the only reality. It's the only thing that's real in this universe. And even though it's invisible and it's intangible and it's in conflict to, I want to say, the collective consensus that most of us have fallen for the belief in matter, that we think that if something is visible and tangible, that it's real. But now what we're finding, and science is really backing us on this, that the only thing that is real is consciousness. And the invisible, intangible aspect of consciousness. And that's what she means by the divine rock.
Okay, so then the last statement, until belief becomes faith, and faith becomes spiritual understanding, human thought had little relation to the actual or divine. So we can think all we want, but until we have that connection, it really isn't going to make any difference what it is that we believe in?
Well, to answer your questions, yeah, that until we can forsake all of our human modes of thinking and begin to substitute that with this divine knowing, by letting this divine mind take over the scientific government of our being, then pretty much what we're doing is going to be dependent upon belief for any appearance of any kind of power or effect. But in the truth of being, when spirit is cause, that's when creation is perfect. So we have to forsake all of our human modes of thinking for this divine knowing. And in knowing this truth and having fidelity to that, we then have a handle on how to affect changes in the external appearances.
Well, if we can talk about the Bible verse that was mentioned in the summary, Hebrews 1:11, faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. Now, hope here is different than what we would normally think. We're not hoping for something. Can you maybe shed some light on that?
Well, I think what they're really trying to say is that it is the substance. So there is something that is tangible about faith. And that's what Mary Baker Eddy is saying. There is going to be spiritual evidence that will start to contradict the testimony of your material senses, the evidence of things not seen. Because spirit is invisible and intangible, but it is the infrastructure for perfect creation. So in order to really affect permanent changes in the appearance, once we learn how to employ this spiritual understanding, you're in the control panel, that you actually now have the capacity, and the term that they use was dominion, that you are now able to affect changes in the external world based on the understanding of this divine law that is right here, right now. And that's what we're basically doing, is we're trying to attune ourselves to this law of perfection, which is here. But in order for us to do that successfully, we have to forsake our human modes of thinking and then have this beginning belief and then faith and then eventually understanding of this truth in order to be able to demonstrate it with scientific certainty.
So the evidence of things not seen, that would be the spiritual fruits of this faith?
Well, yeah, the evidence of things not seen, because spirit is not visible to our five senses. And the truth of being, which is spiritual, doesn't report in our five senses. Now, what is reporting in our five senses is just human conjecture. It is just our thought about what is really here. It is an approximation. We're forming thoughts and opinions using incomplete information based on the testimony of our senses. And then we are trying to make sense out of that, which is one of the reasons why most of our material sciences fail. They get you to a certain point, and then they have to fill in with some sort of clause to make it seem like it's going to prove out scientifically, but it really doesn't. Whereas spiritual law is working with the absolute, it's complete information. And so our understanding of that, which is invisible and intangible, in order for us to activate it, we must be cognizant of its presence and then hold true to it until it begins to reveal itself as the changes in the external appearance.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, if we can get to talking about the causal spiritual body, I think this might be a good place to start to do that.
Yeah, in Kriya Yoga, we use a three-body system. We use the physical body, we use the astral mental body, and then we use the causal spiritual body. The way that we work with that now, which is a little bit different than the way we were before, is that now the physical appearance is just really your compass. That we don't no longer have a belief in the physical appearance or the physical form, but we use that to give us an understanding of how we're thinking. And so how we think is what we become. And then again, am I thinking with mortal mind, or am I thinking with divine mind? And so we're trying to come out of these modes of mortal thought, the lower mind, the mid mind, the higher mind, and making our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. And by making divine mind our new mode of thinking, then spirit becomes cause. And when spirit is cause, then creation is perfect. And so now, when we say, well, how we think is what we become, we're a little bit more explicit about that, because we're making a shift from mental to spiritual understanding, which is more in compliance with what Mary Baker Eddy was talking about.
So we know that spirit is cause and creation is perfect. And then mortal mind is the creator of the imperfect material world. And we are learning to correct thought by thinking differently. Now, this is where I think we have to be careful, right? And how we think is what we become.
Right. Because divine mind is the creator of the perfect spiritual universe. And just like you said, mortal mind is the creator of the imperfect material world. And basically, what we're learning to do is how to correct thought with truth. To have an understanding of this spiritual fact of being, that creation is perfect when it is understood spiritually. And then the other adjustment is to think differently, to forsake all of our human modes of thinking, and then replacing that with this divine knowing, just making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. And it's actually a whole lot easier than you thought, because it's really about taking no thought for thine own self, like it says in the Bible, and just letting this divine presence express itself through you. And having this sense of faith that you know that this divine presence is going to outpicture the perfection of being.
Well, I know myself, I'm still wrapping my head around the idea that actually what is surrounding me really isn't real. And then so for me to be able to have the power to change that is almost a little overwhelming.
Yeah, and I think what we have to do is kind of unbox a little bit about what you said, because faith is beyond knowing. And just like you said, what surrounds me isn't real, but that's not entirely true. But what is reporting in your five senses isn't real. Because, and I really like what Herb Fitch said in The Mystical Eye, Class 10B. He says, faith is beyond knowing. To know it mentally is incomplete. There's something you've got to do. After you know it, you've got to take the knowing and let it lead to an act which is based upon your reliance and trust of the fact that you have known. So in other words, we start with this principle that spirit is perfect cause, but then we have to rely on. We have to radically rely on that until it starts to affect changes in our external experiences. That you don't just believe in something, that you really have to have this certain act of commitment towards it, and then this demonstration of it, and then learning how to employ this as a strategy for effective living is what we're working on here now.
And then so part of that strategy is to really get a foothold of this spiritual understanding.
Right. You start out with the basic principle that when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. Now, once you have accepted that and then you start to rely on it, then the next thing is you must start to understand that you are spirit. And then, like you said, well, what surrounds me isn't real. So now we have to understand that we have to move beyond sense-level living. We have to get beyond the testimony of material senses. And then we have to start to understand ourselves spiritually. And what does that look like when I identify with that which is invisible and intangible? Because now, rather than looking for sensation and animation and movement in my consciousness, I'm really looking for absolute silence, absolute stillness. I'm looking for no signal in my five-sense mind, as opposed to the way that I was approaching this before. So there is a big change in our values, there's a change in how we're thinking. Yeah, so you're definitely changing now from looking for what's visible and tangible to what's invisible and tangible to now looking for what is invisible and intangible as your anchor, as your platform that you're going to start to live out from, and working with absolute silence, absolute stillness, rather than doing all of this human thinking, all of this human planning, human forming thoughts and opinions, that now we are stopping all of that, all of those modes of mortal thought, and we are just letting this divine mind express itself through us, and our faith in that eventually will start to outpicture itself as understanding, and we will start to demonstrate this perfection of being, as opposed to working with all of the imperfections and limitations of our human modes of thinking.
And I think that's where a lot of us are right now, is we're stuck in these human modes of thinking.
Right. And it's very difficult to try and change that without some leadership and without some instruction in basically what is that going to look like when I'm actually doing that?
I see the notes we have for the show. We have written, faith is the way of living consciously, not in the forms you see, but in the divine life that stands where the form appears. I wonder maybe you could break that down for us. I think you touched upon some of those points already, but I like that faith is the way of living consciously.
Right. And then just like you said, not in the forms you see, but in the divine life that stands where the form appears. That this invisible, intangible divine presence is everywhere now, and it is the underpinnings of everything that is appearing in our senses. And by us acknowledging the invisible, intangible divine life as what is really there, and not the testimony of the material senses, we are now sowing to the Spirit, which is exactly what the Bible is asking us to do, to forsake the material, not to sow to the flesh, but to sow to the invisible, intangible divine presence. And our faith in that, and again, when you first start doing this, it's toe in the water. Because, you know, it's unfamiliar territory, and at least it was for me. And as I start to rely more and more on it, and I become a little bit more attuned to the workings of it. Because personally, I mean, I was always accustomed to being very proactive, working with human will and doing and trying and striving. And this is a completely different technique. This is about letting and knowing.
And I think you said an important word earlier, you know, just now when you said acknowledging. I think that's an important part too. And that, I think, is what comes from living consciously.
Right. But you have to acknowledge divine presence. And you have to rebuke the testimony of the five senses, which is what most of us have been completely governed and controlled by.
Yeah, absolutely. So living out from a spiritual sense, as opposed to living out from a material sense, will really give us what we need.
Well, yeah, it's not only going to give you what you need, it's going to give you the understanding that you are spiritual, that you have no needs anymore, that you are completely fulfilled, that you are the expression of an indestructible principle, which is a very different approach than like what we have been doing prior. Before, we were sowing to the flesh and we were catering to the needs and the demands that were coming from the physical appearance. Now we're rejecting that and we're saying, well, that isn't real. That isn't who I really am. And we're piercing through what is visible and tangible, and we're even going beyond what's invisible but tangible, the whole realms of mortal thought. And now we're stepping right into what is invisible and intangible, this divine presence, the perfection of being, and we're letting that express itself through us.
Well, we have to start closing down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And then once you're there, three quarters way down the homepage, you'll see a section entitled Swami Says Recent Posts. And you'll see this show listed as well as some others underneath that you can click on to further your spiritual developments. And please don't forget, online classes tab will get you to Swami's free webinar on Wednesdays at noon. So with that, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to walk in faith and have a certain sense of conviction to this invisible, intangible, divine presence, until it starts to demonstrate its presence in your experience as fulfillment. harmony, peace, love, happiness, and goodness. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.